That's one of my all-time favorites, Miles Davis's All Blues. It's from his 1959 album, Kind of Blue. Of course, Miles is on trumpet, Bill Evans and Wynton Kelly on piano, Jimmy Cobb on drums, Paul Chambers on bass, John Coltrane on tenor sax, and Julian Cannonball Adderley on alto sax. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And you may not be surprised about what we're going to be talking about. We're talking about those two shootings yesterday, one in Virginia, one in San Francisco, and why they are not at all ordinary. They are very special events occurring, very tragic, but very symbolic and very significant in our collective understanding. A practice baseball game yesterday in Alexandria, Virginia, was to have been a warm-up for the real thing today at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. The baseball game, the real thing, is going to happen tonight. The bipartisan charity event will go on as scheduled, even though James Hodgkinson, a 66-year-old Illinois man, could have scuttled the game entirely by his violent actions. Hodgkins, said to be an avowed Trump critic, turned up at the practice session yesterday and shot at several people, wounding them, some of them quite seriously. Capitol Police officers returned fire, killing Hodgkins. In San Francisco, also yesterday, United Parcel Service employee Jimmy Lamb, 38, went to the UPS warehouse armed with an assault pistol and killed three co-workers there and wounded two others before turning the gun on himself. 3 months ago, Lamb filed a complaint that he was being made to work an excessive amount of overtime. It may seem that these two cases are different and disconnected from each other, but in fact, they are not. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. Nobody endorses violence. Nobody thinks it's a great idea to end people's lives, including one's own. and to basically, you know, take such drastic measures in trying to solve a problem or come to terms with a problem. And no one is endorsing this kind of violence. We've seen it so many times before. But what I do want to say, and I do want us to look at what is being communicated here. It is all well and good now, you know, that people are talking about how horrible it is and as if this is a revelation. It is, of course, horrible. These things are horrible. Imagine being a member of a family who says goodbye to mom or dad in the morning as they go to work and their children go about getting to school and seeing about their business. And out of the blue, something this tragic happens, and it is also permanent. It's not something that can be fixed. But I would suggest that when these things happen, we have to go beyond what the quote facts are. We have to look beyond these the facts, the specific facts of an incident, and look at some of the underlying causes and some of the hidden messages here that all of us could benefit from. So I expect some people would say, well, there they go again, the progressives, the liberals endorsing violence, which is just a plain stupid thing to say. We've been talking for quite some time, and especially in recent weeks, we've been talking about the excesses that people feel they are being subjected to in this current political climate. And in this sense, we can see these shootings as an expression of people unable to cope rationally with these excesses. And as we have discussed, it's going to get more and more intense. So here is Mr. Hodgkins, angry beyond measure, angry at Donald Trump. But let's look beyond his expression of anger and let's try to figure out what he's saying here. Again, no excuse for his actions, but we must not ignore his actions and believe that they are easily understood. They're not. His motivation comes in a particular context, and some people deal with it very quietly, but some people, even though they're quiet about it, eventually a gasket bursts. And causing even themselves ultimate harm. At the time that Hodgkins took his action yesterday, he had become absolutely disillusioned with politics, the political system. He had become despondent that he saw no way out of the system. He was, in fact, a Bernie supporter, a Sanders supporter. But he was living in his van. He was unemployed. He was 66 years old. And it seems as if, with every passing day, he became angrier and angrier that the system did not provide a solution to whatever it is he was experiencing in his own life. From what I've read so far, in the way of a profile of this man, he was so outraged, so angry, angry beyond logic, that the country, in his head, the country had gone to hell under Donald Trump. And he dare not hold out hope. He blamed the Democrats. He blamed especially the Republicans. And so he directed his path to that venue, sure that he would be able to look the people he considered the enemy in the eye, and he would kill them. Now, this is extreme, extreme conduct. I'm simply saying, look at it from this point of view. It doesn't solve anything, but it helps us understand how many people are thinking out there, the numbers of which we don't know. For all we know, there are thousands or millions of people like James Hodgkinson, for whom life no longer has meaning. And therefore, it didn't matter much whether he got killed or was himself killed by his own hand. It didn't matter to him. He was prepared psychologically. And this plan that he had almost came true. He managed to shoot at several people, wounding them. And this was his way of getting even with a system that stole his life. The morass that he was in had no exit sign. And the system, and pay really close attention to this word, this was his system of getting even. It made no sense. But then at another level, you can see in his mind the rationale for his actions. We don't agree with it. You can't agree with that kind of behavior. It is so aberrant. It is so terrifying that somebody could be driven to a point where they literally lose their minds. The greater tragedy is that the political system refuses to understand that this man, James Hodgkinson, there are many, many, many such men and women in this country right now. They see themselves as having arrived at a final point. Nobody's listening to them. Nobody's paying attention to their needs. And yet, there are people in this country who don't have to worry about any of that. They don't have to worry. So there is intense anger out there. And no place to put it. The people who have a righteous anger, in my view, a man 66 years old, accustomed to working, no longer is. Accustomed to having a home, no longer does. accustomed to having his own van and his own, but now it is not for getting from point A to point B. It is for going nowhere except to sleep. I think we need to understand that kind of anger because millions of Americans have it. That's why in the last couple of weeks we've been talking about what is coming. And just simply to hedge your bets against this kind of outcome, start doing what you have to do now to assure some kind of protection against a system that really has shown us time and again, it really doesn't care. Many millions of Americans are trapped. They see themselves as having no future. And the reality is that is life for them now. At 66 years old, this man came to a point where he saw himself as having no fruitful life, no meaningful life. And all of that anger had to be summarily transferred to people who are not responsible directly. But in the meantime, society will make judgments. And his position, his situation in life, comes with a lot of condemnation, a lot of people ignoring the situation that millions of Americans are experiencing right now. They don't see a future. And while they are suffering at this intense level, the system just compounds it by saying you are a failure, an utter failure. Why don't you go out and get a job? You think this man hasn't tried that? Why don't you lift yourself by your own bootstraps? You think he didn't hear this before? But the people running this system are taking care of themselves. They come first. Their benefits are first. And what the rest of us will get would be steady and constant preaching about how responsible we are for our own condition and plight. There's only so much a person can take before they snap. And this system, of course, ignores that fact. It just rolls over it and moves on. Until a situation like this happens, and even when it happens, they are confident in the fact that they have the protection of law enforcement. So even if millions of people are discontented, they can cope, at least theoretically, with the idea that people will take to the streets, or people will get upset, or people will do very impractical and illogical things. People will crack. Rather than see this as a failure of the system, as I've said, they will now cast it in another light. This is a man who simply could not take care of himself despite all the benefits that America has to offer. He's a failure. And he did a great favor by taking himself out. or causing the police. This is death by police, right? You create the situation. He is so fragile in his head, he probably doesn't know reality from unreality, and probably welcomed being killed, because at the very least, it took him out of his misery. We look at the situation in San Francisco, where 6 lives were lost. And I would submit to you it's the same situation, really. Here's a young man in the prime of his life, driven to a point. I don't know by whom, but it's clear he was driven to a point of hopelessness. So he goes to his place of work, which is the source of his grief and anger and lack of fulfillment. He kills 3 of his co-workers. He seriously wounds 2 others. And then finally takes his own life. It's the same scenario, really. What caused it, according to the news coverage? According to the news coverage, the cause was that he was stressed out by working way too many hours, by being required to do so much overtime, that life had no more meaning. No meaning to him whatsoever. He complained, was ignored. The situation was not rectified. For whatever reason, we still don't know all we need to know to fully understand this. But this much we can say with certain authority. This man was punished severely by a system that didn't listen to him when he complained. I'm working too hard. You're asking me to do too much. And probably this is the prelude to being fired. But I need my job. I have a family. I have dreams, just like you. You're stressing me out. You're shortening my life. And you're showing me maximum disrespect. That's how systems work. And that was, in effect, a clash between a person's notion of what is right and just. What is the correct way to work? What is the appropriate way for a system to work with a person employed by it? The system had no patience with this business of let's sit down and talk. They don't know how to do that. It doesn't know how to do that. And from what we can surmise, was that even the other system that he expected to come to his rescue and back him up as a worker, and I'm referring to the union, even that seemed to have deserted him in his quest for what he considered justice. You're working me to death. He has complained about this heavy workload that forced him to work all these hours. So when we look at it, at things this way, we see a different picture. The popular analysis stops at what each person did that harmed other people. Because that's the way systems are organized. You are totally responsible for their errors, their omissions. You are responsible. And there hasn't been any coverage, really, of the impact of this kind of behavior by systems and how they impact individuals. Is it possible that this system actually caused a nervous breakdown on the part of Jimmy Lam? Is it possible it had such an inordinately negative impact on his family, and that he was getting blamed by his family for doing so much work, that he had no time for private life, or family life? Of course, the system is not at all accountable for any of this. But it can hold the people it harms fully 100% accountable. And it will do that. Now, look at also what these folks have in common. A high degree of expectation that they wouldn't get everything they want, but they expected to be listened to, because in their minds, both of them, they had legitimate grievances. And the system refused to solve a problem for which it had 100% responsibility. That's how I see it. But if, on top of the fact that you've been worked to death, the system is saying, well, I am not going to waste my time listening to this drivel. I have other things to do. Get lost. Stop your whining. That's how it chose to respond. And more of this will happen. We said that. It is not about whose fault it is. It is about the fact that people are placed in situations in life that somebody else is largely responsible for seeing to it that things are fair and just. But we actually have sick people out there. And there may have been a supervisor who got a kick out of torturing Mr. Lam before inevitably getting him fired. We don't know, but we can surmise, because we have done this kind of analysis so many times. Aggrieved people, people who have no other way of working what is, you know, said to be a system that assures their rights and guarantees their rights. It doesn't. And it reduces you to such a degree that you don't care about your life. You don't care how your own death might affect those around you. You just want this thing to end, which is what oppression is. It's also psychological. You want the craziness to end. And if in that short span of time that you get to the place where you think you will do the most damage and get even, you're not going to devote too much time being analytical and weighing whether what you go about to do is right or wrong. You're there to achieve a mission. And in their heads, they are killing the system that was killing them. It makes no sense to you and me. And that's only because we haven't reached that point. That's the only reason. We could very well reach that point tomorrow. Remember, this system is really an apparatus for maintaining power and dominance over others, keeping everybody in line, keeping them in their place. I'm surprised that we don't have this kind of violence every day. And the reason we don't have this kind of violence every day is that the people who are constantly being pressured turn the situation on themselves. They give themselves up to death. It makes no difference whether it comes in a massive dose or by their own hand. The main thing is it provides an exit. It provides relief. That at once, for once in their lives, they are in charge of getting even. At least this is the reasoning. Oppression does this. It makes us do illogical things. It makes us implode. It makes us literally lose our minds. I mean, in a logical world where all your brain cells are firing, you can't possibly accept that a solution to the problem that you have is that you're walking in there with a rifle or a gun to your place of work or to other people's places of work, and you dispatch them. But this is a throwaway society. Individuals are to be thrown away by virtue of being ignored. They have very little value because they have, in the eyes of a system, they have little to contribute to the collective, to collective progress. So we shouldn't feel sorry. There shouldn't be any compassion for these two men who, at the time that they ended their lives or caused their lives to be ended, they literally had reached the end, as they saw it. What we need to learn from this is that this is how we all are in danger of ending up. So I'm not condemning, nor am I praising. I'm just trying to understand it myself, that much of America, if America continues to be governed by miscreants in Congress and in the White House, this is a large part of the result that we will get from them and their ways of thinking and their policies. They are producing a very large population of people who psychologically are misfits. These people have no hope. That's the point they have reached. And it, in their minds, as you see, common to both of them, it's beyond the point of reasoning and talking. It is beyond the point of being counseled. Of course, the violence, the level of violence that they employ in trying to actually do the exact opposite to salvage themselves. That's gone. What can you tell a 66-year-old man who has no home, is living in his van, who can't find a job, who has nowhere to put his anger, who sees no possibility of getting out of this dark pit? How do you salvage this man? He came to his own conclusion. Or the worker who has been complaining about essentially uneven treatment in the workplace, being forced to work ridiculous hours in overtime. He ends it the best way he knows how. And we're not in charge of that. That's another way of saying a large chunk of America is lost, even to themselves. The things that we assign as being part of your identity, of your personhood, of your value, both individually and in terms of your societal value, these things no longer exist, if they ever did. People are diminished. This is what white supremacy does. You are reduced to something less than human because you don't enjoy what human beings are supposed to enjoy. You're supposed to enjoy your job. That alone is supposed to be incentive for you to work hard, but of your own volition and control. You're not supposed to be compelled to work hard like a slave. You're not in this great America. But this is the reality a large chunk of America experiences every single day. And success is getting through the day without really doing major harm to yourself and to others. We had two people yesterday who couldn't do that. They're far gone. The system had successfully diminished them. So there's no reasoning. There's no talking. There's no, hey, how do we sit down or work this thing out? It's gone way beyond that. And in their own ways, in their own heads, they battled the system. Now, that may sound odd, but that's how I see it. People would say, well, hey, they lost their lives. I would say they knew that they were going to probably lose their lives. And it didn't matter to them. It didn't stop them from doing what they did. Which says clearly, these folks were totally broken down. I'll stop now and let's hear your thoughts. What are you thinking about these awful developments yesterday, right after this? You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm your Trace Lead, and just sharing my thoughts. They're not the only thoughts I have, but they're the most immediate thoughts I have on these two situations yesterday that were so tragic. And I'm just encouraging us to not fall in lockstep with the so-called popular view, but to stretch a little bit beyond those borders and take a look at the situation differently. 888-874-4888, but also to remind you that that population from which these two men are drawn, that population is growing in the United States because our politics, our sociology, is just so rotten. It is creating more and more of these tragedies by the way it has been operating. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Utrice. How are you feeling?
I'm fine today. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Sadly to say, but to be most honest, this is about to become the norm in this country because of a small group of rich white men that are extremely greedy and have absolutely no sense of compassion or fairness for everyday people of all colors. And it just shows when you explain the narrative of who the gentleman was that committed the terrorist act yesterday, and then you spoke about the gentleman in San Francisco that committed his act of terror, it's just going to be the norm. Because if you look at what's going on in this country under the leadership of the Trumpy Trumpster, he's making it so hard with his minions of senators and congressmen for everyday people to just survive. And he's given the illusion that he's making it better for them. But when people wake up and start to see the quality of their life and what is happening, you're going to have what you happened yesterday in Washington. Because, you know, whenever you're in a dire straits situation and you're at your wit's end, you start to sit down and reflect not only on your life, but you also reflect on what are the circumstances that this has come about. And in those moments, you get a sense of clarity about who is really at fault for this. And then you either make the decision to do something about it or to just accept it and give up on life and die, or you decide that you want to fight and hurt the people that are hurting you. And what happens in the media is they never tell the true narrative of what makes men like what happened on Wednesday become who they are. So only a few of us could understand why he did what he did based on his so-called thought of privilege that he had, that if I work hard, that if I get an education, that if I get a job, that if I buy a house, if I do all of these things, I'm going to be all right. But in the process, what happened is he witnessed his government and those who have authority over them, screw them over. And whenever you get to that point to where you start to reflect on that and you start to see it for what it really is, you become a very angry and dangerous person. And unfortunately, we're in a society to where as a lot of that has been suppressed, but it's not being suppressed anymore because they're hurting too many people. See, back in
I think I agree with your analysis. I want us, though, to always keep in the back of our heads that these two tragic events had a beginning, and the beginning was about the expectation of both men based on what government says that, you know, what you're entitled to. And it just vanished. It never applied to these men. And they have, so I'm saying in other words.
The thing is, Beatrice, the thing is this though, you know, in the 80s, up until maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there was a sense of it. There was still a sense of protection. There wasn't the brutal assault, like one would say, of austerity against the people like it is now. So that's why I would disagree.
I would disagree.
I don't think so. I think there was
a I'll tell you my view of what you said. I think this has been subverted, subsumed. We learned, or certain people in the United States who are now accustomed to being deprived, accustomed to poverty. So they don't associate it anymore as a deliberate act. It's just the way life is. And along with that way of thinking, they don't see that, I mean, they don't pay attention enough to what is happening to them because they're busy trying to survive. So if you eat once a day, that becomes normal. If you eat not even once a day, that too becomes normal. So we have to distinguish these things and understand them. Thank you so much for your call and getting us started today. I want to say up front, we will certainly have tomorrow to continue the conversation because evidently we will have more people wanting to talk than time to talk today. Steve from California, you're on the air.
Thank you for your show today.
Thank you.
All I can say is amen to your to your uniquely perceptive perspective.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah,
Henry from Chicago. Oh, were you finished, Steve? I'm sorry. Okay, we'll move on. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
Okay, how's about you?
All right. A lot of what you touched on in regards to the origins of how this man, these two men were thinking before these tragic events really resonated with me because, as you know, I'm in Chicago where there's a lot of violence going on. And the thing about it is that with the system, they target these people here at an early age because they set them up in inadequate schools, basically setting them up with the breakup of the family where there are hardly no men in the house to kind of quell these potential shooters who, you know, roam the streets and, like you said, have a you know, basically build up a profile that life doesn't mean anything. And the part of it is because they are in a system where they tell them that you're basically nothing anyway. So, you know, why educate yourself? You know, why try to make yourself productive?
Or in the case of, again, I go to Hodgkinson, the older gentleman, you've already had your turn and you blew it. So just get along with life, however you can. In the case of the young man at UPS, you know that that's a good paying job. And he has been there for several years, employed at UPS. Maybe one of the perceptions by management was he was taking a job that belonged to somebody else. So they would make his life so miserable that he would quit. You know, This is how they manipulate people. This man, the older man, the attitude was, hey, you're done. You're 66 years old. Why should you even be in the workplace? What are you doing looking and pursuing employment? You're a joke. You're a loser. These are the things that an enlightened government would consider so they don't have people just losing it like this and doing such harm to themselves and to others. Thanks, Henry. I'll talk with you another time. I just want to get some more people in here. Veronica from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good day, Eutrice. How are you?
Okay. How's by you?
Oh, well, I was able to get in and tell Hillary Clinton that I didn't want her at the commencement speech. But, you know, hey. I was listening to what you said, and I also thought of all the people that are in the military. I also thought of many people join the military because they're poor, and it's a way out of the military. But now you've gone on, and you have a drill sergeant, and they teach you all these things during cadence. So you have over a million people every year learning, kill this one, kill the Muslim, and these are some of the cadences that are spoken. Now, besides that, they come home, and they're just like these two gentlemen. So now in walking to the corner store, I tell people I wouldn't even talk to the neighbor or have long conversations there because you never know who pulls up, who's having this breakdown because society has treated them as a dirty diaper. And you have mental health clinics closing everywhere. And this is the same thing. So we have millions, not two, we have millions of people that are walking around because they are no longer with us. If they have children, the children may suffer. They may seem functioning. But now you have the children that are coming behind, and this may be the parent that they have to deal with. So that child may not be a social child, and then you stigmatize these children, the children that are put in special ed, not because they are not academically capable. And that had been going on 30, 40 years ago, you know, when I was in school. So I remember that we are all being abused in one way or another. That's what makes you become a person of not with mental health all the time, but sometimes you become that Black Panther. You become that person that constantly helps, and it's the same thing because you it's not mental health, but you've decided you were able to focus and to become someone that does good things in society. And then you see someone that is unworthy to get a honorary doctorate's degree. So
hello.
It causes a mental breakdown for the people that know that this is crazy.
It's not fair at all.
It's terrorism. It is terrorism on the people because what we want to do is depopulate the earth anyway. We don't care what color you are.
Let's pick up the conversation tomorrow. We are out of time. Tomorrow, of course, is Free Your Mind Friday. This is a very important discussion to have, and I'll say this because it is not about assigning blame. We can't possibly believe that it was a good thing that happened yesterday, that these two men killed people, wounded people, killed themselves or got themselves killed. There's no way you can talk about that from that perspective. But we do have to pay attention to the underlying thing here, which is the role of government in creating circumstances such as this, in which people literally lose value for their own lives, let alone the lives of others. So we'll continue this and other things that you want to talk about tomorrow. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. A pleasure always and a great privilege to be in your company. We'll see each other tomorrow on Free Your Mind Friday. Bye-bye. Thank you.